The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Marissa Wexler, MS. Heat, variable temperatures, found to increase risk of MS hospital visits. Visits to the hospital related to multiple sclerosis or MS are more common when it's hot or when temperatures are more variable, but less likely to be needed when it's humid, a new analysis suggests. The results were published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health in a study titled Heat Exposure and Multiple Sclerosis, a Regional and Temporal Analysis. It is well established that increasing a person's core body temperature can aggravate symptoms of MS, and many people with a neurodegenerative disorder experience an abnormal sensitivity to heat, with unusually warm weather linked to more emergency room visits. We've known for quite some time that neurological symptoms of multiple sclerosis can be exacerbated as a result of exercise that increases core body temperature and metabolism. Naresh Kumar, a professor at the University of Miami and co-author of the study, said in a press release, "What we don't have a lot of data on is the relationship between ambient meteorological conditions and symptoms of the disease," he said. To explore the relationship between weather and MS symptoms requiring hospital care, Kumar and his colleagues conducted an analysis of data from Veterans Affairs medical centers across the U.S. In total, the team assessed data on 27,290 patients who made 530,075 total hospital visits from 2010 to 2013. The team then investigated the frequency of MS-related hospital visits based on weather factors, determined from information culled from the National Climatic Data Center. In general, the researchers found hospital visits were 8.9% less likely to occur in the winter as compared with the spring, summer, and fall. Visits were particularly frequent when weather was changing from hot to cold or vice versa. Overall, there are two seasonal peaks of MS clinic visits: spring, March and April, and early fall, August and September, the researchers wrote. Kumar noted that these peak times correspond with variable weather temperatures. Such variability, the rate at which temperatures change day to day or month to month within a single year, most likely had an effect on increased rates of clinical MS visits, he said. For example, we observed a significant change in temperature in the month of March, a transition month between a long winter and spring season, which corresponded to the highest frequency of MS clinic visits, Kumar said. For their analysis, the researchers used statistical models to examine the impact of temperature and humidity on the relative risk of a hospital visit. In nationwide analyses, they found that for every 10 degrees Celsius increase in temperature, there was a statistically significant 0.3% increase likelihood of going to the hospital because of MS. By contrast, every 10% increase in relative humidity, known as RH, was associated with a statistically significant 0.08% lower likelihood of a hospital visit. Notably, analyses that looked at both ambient temperature and RH generally found a weaker effect on risk compared with those that looked at temperature alone. This suggests that while temperature alone is a risk factor of MS clinic visits, the interaction with RH, a proxy of heat index, is a stronger risk factor of MS clinic visit than exposure to ambient temperature, the researchers wrote. According to the team, these findings suggest that humidity may play a protective role in MS, which is consistent with some of the previously published studies and inconsistent with others. Such differences highlight the need for further research on the impact of humidity in MS, the investigators said. Importantly, in these analyses, the strongest predictor of risk for MS hospitalization was the standard deviation of temperature, which essentially is a measurement of how variable the temperatures are. In our analyses, temperature variation was the strongest predictor of visit risk among all variables, both at the national and regional level, the team wrote. Differences were seen across geographic regions in the U.S., with the highest rate of MS clinic visits in the Pacific Northwest and the Northeast, according to Kumar. The regions with the lowest MS clinic visit rates were the lower Midwest, followed by the upper Midwest. The subtropical U.S. had 46.8 MS clinic visits per 10,000 patients. Miami is subtropical, so we are used to the high humidity and high temperatures, Kumar said. In other areas of the country that undergo massive swings in temperature in a short time, some patients might not be used to it. The researchers speculated that increased sensitivity to changing weather, particularly to variable temperatures, may be due to problems with thermoregulation, which are the processes by which the body maintains a stable temperature. Such problems can be caused by neurological damage that occurs in MS. These findings may become more relevant given increases in daily temperature variation and heat wave intensity and frequency with global warming, the scientists concluded. In the meantime, these epidemiological associations can be incorporated into practice, especially for exposure avoidance and/or mitigation in susceptible patients. The results highlight the importance of implementing a multimodal approach to managing the care of people with chronic diseases such as MS, said Anat Galore, a professor of ophthalmology at Bascom-Palmar Eye Institute of the UHealth University of Miami Health Systems and a study co-author. In addition to medical therapy, it's important to understand how environmental conditions impact specific diseases so that individuals may make appropriate lifestyle modifications, Galore said. The researchers noted several limitations to this study. In particular, since the team relied on insurance data, they did not have access to information on patients' disability status or disease duration. The fact that the patients were mostly white males also was a noted limitation.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by John Connor, Fall Down, Get Up Again. Screaming! The pain for this trigeminal neuralgia, or TN attack, was worse than any previous attack, and there have been a plenty. I couldn't function, but boy could I scream. It was 8 a.m. and I was stirring awake. My tongue merely touched one of the bottom molars on the left side of my mouth, and a knife was plunged into its roots. My wife, Jane, turned up next to my bed and tried to understand my terrible miming. There was no chance of speech, only incessant screaming. She scrambled to find the two pills needed to quell monster TN attacks, oxcarbazepine and baclofen. I also used gabapentin, but it is useless in an emergency as it works slowly. They were all in my bulging drugs bag next to me. I pointed frantically to the section they were in. Jane kept offering me water, but I just as frantically waved it away. Liquid would kill me. The pills are small, so I could slip them in the right side of my mouth and just about swallow them down. As ever, during an attack of this nature, they hardly made a difference. Screaming continued. We both had an answer. Where were my lidocaine patches? I jabbed a finger on my left hand. Jane asked if they were in the box of drugs under my desk. A big thumbs up. As soon as the local anesthetic went on, the pain began to subside. That was 2 days ago, and there's barely been a twinge since. For me, TN is a bit like an earthquake. Lots of warnings, a major move of the earth. A few aftershocks. When the pressure goes away, it leaves peace. I'm sure it's not like that for everyone. We MSers are more prone to TN than the rest of the population. In people with MS, the condition is often caused by damage to their myelin sheath around the trigeminal nerve. Eventually, if the drug stops working, you can have surgery to cut the nerve, but it doesn't always work. I wrote a more detailed column about this a while back. I guess if you're lucky enough not to have TN, I probably lost you ages ago. because I write this column mostly as a diary. I don't have a choice but to bang on about it this week. However, I'm very interested in any snippets of information about the trigeminal nerve. While listening to a recent episode of the BBC radio show, The Food Program, that focused on spices, I was very surprised to learn that the trigeminal nerve transmits the sensation of spicy food between the taste buds and the brain. No wonder my nose explodes every time I eat curry. Thankfully, no TN pain, just the excruciating enjoyment of my meal. We're one of the only creatures that like spicy foods. We humans are definitely weird.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.